Huh?
Tim, don't tell me you confused this guy for me, did you? Seriously? Shooting me out of a cannon is what you call a brilliant idea?
What are you thinking, Pikachu?
It all makes sense now. Bolt of brilliance!
Hello and welcome to Experience Share. My name is Detective Trevitan.
Trevenant.
A.K.A. Detective Tanner Greenring. I'm a hard-bitten private eye, grew up here in, what's the city in this game?
Rhyme City.
Rhyme City, mean streets of Rhyme City, chopping it up with the Pokemon, living in harmony with them, beautiful melting pot of Pokemon and humankind.
Yeah.
But it makes detective work a lot harder, because suddenly we have a whole new sentient population, semi-sentient population we have to worry about.
Gotta deal with, what are the Pokemon getting up to, and is it crime?
I'm going to need a partner for this, and I'm bringing in Floette.
Floette. Detective Josh Fjellstedt.
Floette. Floette, actually.
Josh Fjellstedt.
For the premise for these three episodes, I'm a human detective in Rhyme City, and I need a Pokemon sidekick.
We didn't talk about having a premise.
To talk to Pokemon for me, so...
I had to be a Floette?
Yellowette.
I had to be a Floette this whole time?
I would say get to be. You get to be a Floette.
Floette is a have to, for sure. Well, will I change every episode so I'll be something
else?
We'll
see what happens next episode.
I don't really want to be a Floette for three episodes.
Well, Detective Yellowette, here we are. Mean streets of Rhyme City.
This town stinks. Can I talk?
This town stinks, and we're gonna clean it up!
Wow. So normative of you.
I thought it was like Floette. A Mickey Mouse.
I assume it, like, talks through... We now know this week that some Pokemon just communicate via telepathy.
Yeah.
Solosis.
And Duosion.
Duosion.
Yeah, I like the gruff.
They're both a little standoffish, I'll say.
Oh, yeah.
We should introduce the show.
Right. Well, let's.
I'm Detective Tanner Greenring. This is my sidekick, Floette. We are detectives here in Rhyme City. Right now, we are kind of tracking a case file. There's sort of this junior. He's a civilian. His name is Tim Goodwin.
He's sort of a hobbyist detective.
Goodman?
Goodman.
His name is Tim Goodman, and he is a hobbyist detective. So we're kind of keeping an eye on him. Honestly, he's getting a lot of our footwork done.
Right.
So we're kind of keeping a safe distance and just making sure he doesn't get in any trouble.
Not riding his coattails. We're helping from the sidelines.
We're helping. Keeping an eye on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll just tell you about what he's getting up to on behalf of us, Detective Tanner Greenring and my sidekick Pokemon, Floette.
Okay, I guess.
And that's the premise.
You just threw this premise at me that
7A.
I never assented to.
Now, let's get the numbering right now, okay?
This is 7A.
Thank you.
Once Detective Pikachu is done...
The covenant is
7A
sealed.
7A is done. And then 7B is probably just Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, I think. That's it.
That's a whole new gen, baby. That's 8.
No.
That's going to be... We're going to have to chop this up later.
No, look. Pokemon,
it's a whole new system. It's a whole new platform. It's a whole new generation.
Obviously, that's true, but I believe... Bulbapedia puts Let's Go in Gen 7.
I honor Bulbapedia in every way, but
Gen 7 core series, Let's Go.
Okay.
So that will be 7B.
I'm not above the law. I can't fight what Bulbapedia says. Okay.
Yeah. Now, let's get back on the case here. We're playing Detective Pikachu, 2018 release. The last Pokemon game released on handheld, purely handheld console.
Yeah, the 3DS.
Which I'm rest in petals soon enough.
It is a game that is just a linear narrative game.
Yes.
You don't even need to play along. You can just go watch someone play it on YouTube. You'll be getting the exact same experience as
us. There is no... you can't actually set... Despite our little improvisation there, you can't actually change anything about your character in this. You are always Tim Goodman, and you are always joined by a Detective Pikachu.
Yeah, who talks.
Sorry. who
so
talks.
So here's the thing.
So we got to put some of the voice in here if you haven't heard it. I think Danny DeVito was robbed of this role. This is DeVito to me.
Let's flash back to 2018.
Okay.
You and I are adult men in the prime of our careers.
No longer working at the same company together.
But we're doing well for ourselves.
I think so. I got married in 2018. That was a good year.
Yeah, great year. I was already married.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what I was? Pregnant.
Wow. I didn't know that you
were. Because we were
that.
Pregnant at your wedding.
You were both pregnant?
Well, it's a team effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I certainly put some work in.
Yeah, you had some effort for sure. Yeah.
I've been putting some work in ever since. This morning, the kid didn't want me to help him put on his jacket. And he expressed it by, I was sitting on the ground with him between my legs, and he expressed it by turning around and punching me right between my legs.
Oh my God.
And that's what he's like now. Just a maniac. He's like someone found the mask from The Mask and put it on him.
And he's smoking.
When he gets home from school, we've got this staircase right in the middle of our house and a hallway that sort of runs completely around the staircase.
Yeah.
With rooms on every side. And when he gets home from school, he just takes off his shoes, and he takes off his pants, and he takes off his underwear, and he just runs in circles all around that thing until it's time for bed.
So he's more of a Cuban Pete with the rumba beat?
You're telling me, man. Anyway, where are we? Here we go. That's my home life. This is my detective life.
Yes.
I'm Detective Tanner Greenring. I have never played Detective Pikachu before now.
I have played it.
I was a busy man in 2018, preparing to have a baby. But you apparently had all the time in the world, even though you were getting married.
It was funny, too, that I was not, you know, I played Sun and Moon. I played Sun, rather. I was still, like, around, like, playing Pokemon games occasionally, but I didn't 100% them. Like, I never did the post-game in Sun. But Detective Pikachu, I heard about that, and I was like, that is a game that I am going to
play
all of. Get out of my way. I must play it.
I think it was one of the first times I saw a Pokemon game and thought... I'm sure someone will have fun with that.
You're going to give that a pass.
Yeah.
Well.
But here we are playing it, and I'm enchanted.
Isn't it? It's sort of a delight.
Yeah,
I think it's kind of a delight.
Yeah, it's nice.
I don't know what
you get to know
its
these
implications
Pokemon.
Are on the lore. We'll have to dissect that maybe on the third final episode.
It's pretty nuts.
We should look into it where they try to put this on that whole timeline thing, or is it treated purely as non-canon, which is possible.
Well,
Rhyme City,
we'll have to see. Here's the other thing I need to admit is I've seen the film.
You were supposed to wait until I could watch it with you and Miles, but you
I know
that was supposed to be
jump the
your
gun.
Thing.
Miles hasn't seen it.
Oh, he still hasn't seen it? You just
no.
saw it? Oh, okay,
yeah,
so
me.
We could still do that.
So I do know, like, what happens in the movie. I don't know how far the movie diverges from what happens in the game. I've got a shape of things ahead, you know?
There's several
prescience.
Parallels to the film.
So far, it's a little similar.
Yeah, you can see certain scenes were inspired by it, but there's a lot more world
I hope that Mr. Mime scene is not in the game. I would hate to live that out.
Guess you'll have
we'll
to find
though.
Out.
Because we've only played the first three chapters this week of Detective Pikachu.
Yes, there are 9 total, and we will be doing 3 a week somehow.
Yeah, we did it this week. It wasn't too hard.
Not too bad. This
it's kind of a game for babies.
One.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
It works a little like the tech in 1992's Myst.
Yeah.
Where it's like you just kind of click on everything, and eventually, like. One of the clicks does something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although at the same time, that gets very obnoxious in the more complex cases like chapter 3, where you already know like what the answer is, like the culprit
Pikachu
is Gengar
keeps
or whatever.
Screaming at you.
But
he
then,
pulls you over. He's like, hey, just so you know, it's Gengar. It's like, yeah, man, I know.
But then it's still like, oh, but you need to talk to every single Pokemon and get all of their testimony. Even though you already know it, but it won't let you, it gatekeeps you until you actually check literally every box.
I know.
So it's that part can get obnoxious.
Incredibly frustrating.
Yeah.
Here's the fucked up thing about the narrative universe about this game. It's an incredibly complex universe, and it sheds a lot of, if it is canon, it sheds a lot of strange light on the Pokemon universe. It answers a lot of weird, unanswered questions. Or it's this pocket dimension, or just this like sort of like... You know, what's the island that is in the X-Men comics where they go and it's sort of like Crime Island where there's like no laws? It's like that, you know? It's like, here's this freestanding society out in the middle of nowhere where Pokemon and humans live in perfect harmony.
Yeah, it is unclear what region it's in, but it is kind of treated like a city-state, I think, where, like, there are references I remember. I mean, we know Pokemon trainers are a thing, but there are references to other aspects of the broader Pokemon world that implies, from what I recall, that Rhyme City is a real place in the broader Pokemon world. Who knows what timeline, you know, or dimension it's in or whatever. But Rhyme City is called out for both in the film and then in the game as like having unique aspects of like how the people and Pokemon interact, where Pokemon are not only a partner in like battling, but they also live freely.
Yeah.
And like, and they're animals. See little cutscenes of
mostly
like
animals.
And they like, they have,
but they're sentient. They,
some
semi-sentient.
Of them have jobs. Like they can, they're hot dog vendors, or like the Machamps and Machokes are still doing the moving service. Yeah.
It's such a confusing universe. And I hope it's not canon, because if it is canon, it's pretty screwed up.
I think it depends how you look at it, though, because there's a, later on when we get to the laboratory, the Rotom. So when we do cases,
yeah, I love that Rotom.
Tim Goodman, I almost called him Tim Human. Tim Human can,
Steve's brother,
you know, will interview. Yeah, exactly. We'll interview all of the people, and then Detective Pikachu can talk to the Pokemon. So you have to get testimony from both. And the Pikachu will talk to this Rotom, and the Pikachu asks Rotom, like, oh, what do you think of Carlos, his like partner in the laboratory? Yeah. And Rotom's like, oh yeah, he's my servant.
Yeah.
Like, I don't work for him.
Or a lot of them are just
to
like,
me,
oh, I guess
think
I don't.
It's not necessarily.
Some of them are like, oh, I guess I don't really think about him. And it's like, what is Pokemon's relationship with us?
Right. Like, so I know, like, maybe the gut reaction is Rhyme City is more problematic than not, but I think it's potentially maybe it makes more sense is like Rhyme City is like some Pokemon do pair up with people, and some of them just like are wild animals and like they roam around and they do whatever they want. And so
it was weird.
Like I don't even know even that hearing, I would come down against Rhyme City out of the gate.
Even hearing how the city Pokemon state. Talk and like how like sensible they are and how like collected they are and just how aware of the world they are. Unlike all the humans who are all like idiots who haven't seen anything and are like spiteful to you for no reason because you're just some fucking kid whose dad is like presumably dead.
Yeah.
You know, who was
this
like
is his way of mourning, man.
He was like a friend of this laboratory, and this one lab tech's like, fuck you, kid. Yeah. And like, I don't know. It's such a backwards world. Maybe it's the right way world, though. Maybe this is the backwards world.
Yeah, well, that's just a philosophical question that we'll be pondering over the course of these three episodes.
And that's ultimately, you know, we're kind of having our gumshoe, Tim Goodman, out there on
our gumshoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Pokemon. Yeah.
He's a human gumshoe, like a junior detective. Yeah. He's out there doing our footwork. And we're going to be kind of exploring the more deeper philosophical questions about this narrative universe as it continues to unfold in front of us.
That's right.
And here we are, chapter one, Tanti Park.
Tanti Park.
Tanti Park.
So Tim Goodman, the Tim Human, arrives in Rhyme City from parts unknown, and it's like his
typical
parents
JRPG
were divorced.
Stuff.
He's coming to the city because his
sent
dad
away
has gone missing, and his dad was a detective.
Countryside village. But Tim Goodman is not a kid, Tim Human. He's an adult.
No,
he
he's
drive,
definitely
he
at least
himself.
Like 16, if not like 18 or 20. Finally.
And he like flirts with women.
And does, so does Pikachu. And it's a little questionable, his commentary.
Now, a lot of the narrative around this game, I even Googled it, because the very first person you meet when you open up the game is a Detective Pikachu. And by a Detective Pikachu, I mean a Pikachu that has a detective hat on. And he is a detective. Like, he's good at detective work.
Credentialed, he has the hat. Yeah. That's pretty much all you need.
I've never played this game. I've never booted this game before. I've never heard Pikachu talk before.
No, why would you?
And I was led to believe, mostly by you, I think, osmosis, cultural osmosis via you, that Pikachu was going to have a gruff Brooklyn Danny DeVito-like accent.
Because I think Danny DeVito was robbed in this, in both the movie and the game. It should have been Danny DeVito, or at least one of
or
them.
Or at least I was expecting to have.
But it is a somewhat gruff voice.
Gruff.
I mean, you'll have to put some.
It's also
of,
just kind of like,
hi,
hey, it's me, Pikachu. I'm just talking like a normal man sometimes.
Hey, sorry about that. I got tangled up with some Pokemon adoring cuties.
I actually like. My torch song is for Danny DeVito doing this, but I do think both the voice actors are
actually
they're
great.
Good.
Yeah.
Like, I thought Ryan Reynolds was also pretty good.
This game is a freak show.
I just think Danny DeVito would be funny.
The other thing you see, so then you zoom out and you're like, oh, this lush 3D world. Everything is fully realized. There's no overworld, you know, we're like down in like in the shit with everyone, you know?
Technically the first Pokemon game with voiceovers, like,
oh yeah, fully voice acted,
lots of cutscenes,
animations, you know, like all this stuff, and it's a fucking freak show. Everything looks like a nightmare to me. It looks like it does. It's like, I think someone tweeted us, they're
so
like
crisp.
It's someone's, I should get their Twitter and not just steal their joke.
It was on Instagram. It was good. Yeah,
they look like Bratz dolls. Like, everyone looks like a Bratz doll. Like, I know the tech has, like, improved a lot since then, and, like, I'm looking at it, like, rezzed up, probably.
Yeah, AsiaJ17 on Instagram said, this looks and sounds like someone's freshman animation class.
It absolutely does. Like,
pretty good. Yeah, it's, like, a little
it's
bit
too cartoony. It's too weird.
The environments, when you're not in a cutscene, can have some amount of detail, but the cutscenes are so clean. I mean, everything is too clean.
I think we're also like, this game came out on the original 3DS. I'm playing on the new, like, ultra-wide 2DS, you know, like, bigger screen. I don't know. Maybe it just hasn't aged well, but they look like freak shows.
Yeah, I did feel like it looked better to me at the time.
Pikachu.
Than it does.
Immediately runs into Tim Goodman, and they form a fast friendship because it turns out Pikachu belonged to Tim Goodman's missing father, Harry.
Yes. His partner, Pikachu.
And before we can even, like, shake hands, we're interrupted by two of the most heinous Pokemon in the world. Surprisingly, not my You Make Me Barf Pokemon this week.
Well, they've had the honors several times, I believe.
And these two are, yeah, Apom. These two are pretty, pretty nasty. Pretty mischievous.
Yeah, they're mischievous.
They are like someone put the mask on.
Oh, and it's never coming off.
Well, until they get into a fight with, spoiler alert, a Murkrow.
Yeah. For now, you witness them committing a crime of stealing
passion.
This necklace from some girl.
Yeah. A little girl. They steal her precious jewel necklace, and then they dip their hand in ketchup and dip their hand in paint. And then they
hurl a hot dog at you.
And you, oh my God, Josh, I'm so... So you have no idea. Someone once like questioned, I don't remember where, but they're like, Tanner says he's like a gamer and he plays all these like deep strategy games. How is he always so bad?
Yeah.
One of the things I am worst at in video games is I'm really bad at quick time events. And this game is loaded with
them. So Bugcatchers, the main gameplay is what, and this is what you learn in the game, like this Apom thing is sort of like the tutorial. So it's basically a mix of timed events, interactive cutscenes, essentially, where it'll be like this Apom is hurling a hot dog at you to try to stop you from following it. And then you have to, you know, the circle starts big and it gets smaller. And then you need to press A when it's in this specific spot. And then there's also smashing A to, like, you know, move a cart or something. And then the rest of it is collecting evidence and testimony from people. And that's when it just like is a kind of 2D, like, I mean, it's 3D, but you're just looking at like a scene, and then you have to just like interact with and ask people and Pokemon questions, and then you have a little case log and case notes where it's like, this person said this thing, and then like you're assembling evidence in order to try to like solve the crime. So in this case, we're trying to figure out which Apom made off with this girl's necklace.
Doesn't take a lot of detective
work.
We're
just thrust into it. We have no idea what,
it's
like...
It's a little bit of a tutorial.
We haven't even
chapter,
made it
though.
To our dad's, like, detective agency yet. Yeah, this is all tutorial, basically. So it's pretty simplistic.
You follow this Apom. You find it knocked out on the brink of death, soaked in blood, by this fountain in this park.
Yeah.
Taunting. But then once you roll it over, you discover that it has just landed on some kind of berry.
Yeah, and then you go back to the crime scene.
You still got to find this necklace, out, like, though. Where'd it go?
You find a feather there. Mm. A feather with a blackish hue, I would say, by the nearly murdered.
Yeah,
Avon,
and then it's a bird
as well
hunt.
As, like, a pile of leaves and, yeah, the berry.
You get a lot of false leads.
Some trash.
And then you interact with a lot of weirdos. You have to talk to a lot of people in these games. So there's going to be a lot of trainer dangers. And my first one was right here in Tonti Park.
Oh, wow. Out of the gate.
There's a man who's just sitting here feeding pea doves.
Yeah, I don't know where we landed on that one.
And
I like pea dove.
I'm going to say pie dove.
Okay.
Not to be difficult.
Oh, let's just look it up. What is...
P-I-D-O-V-E.
I'm just looking up. P-I-H. What is that? P? Pea dove. I think it's pea dove.
Okay.
Wouldn't pie be P-I-E? Pea dove.
Pigeon. Pea dove.
Although I will say I had a pretty... startling revelation, just jumping ahead briefly for a second, because the Pokemon, they say their names like they act like in the anime, because it's all like voiced, and we've both always said it, and as far as I've ever heard it, is Garbodor.
Yeah,
and you meet one in this who says Garbodor. Garbodor.
Yeah,
wait, Garbodor.
Garbodor. And it's like
Garbodor,
and it's a whole plot point
like
too,
Hodor.
In chapter three. We'll get to that. Let's just quickly flash back to the mystery in chapter one, because it turns out that there's a lot of false leads. You talk to this trainer danger guy. You ask him. Eventually, you're tracking down a Burmy, which are those little pine cone Pokemon that hang down and can be like trash or flower or like whatever.
Yeah, trash coat.
And you say to this man on the park bench feeding pea doves, do you know anything about Burmy? And the man on the park bench says, I'm not interested in anything but P-Dove. Ooh. Unhealthy fascination with P-Dove. And that's all he'll say to you for the rest of time. Believe me, I got stuck at one point and I went back and interviewed everybody several times.
So you're just accosting this P-Dove.
Every
lover.
Time I got stuck in this game, it was because the thing I was looking for, the thing I couldn't find, was in the foreground. Like camera, like stage forward.
Oh, you probably couldn't find that like garbage can that you had to look in.
I couldn't find
a point.
Garbage can I had to look in. I couldn't find a APOM that was hanging out of a tree at one point.
Oh,
I was like
wow.
Running around trying to, everyone's like, it's right there in the tree. And I'm like, okay, like where?
There's a lot
and
of
at one
trees.
Point I couldn't find a, you guessed it. This game has its own unique ghost seeing device.
Oh yeah.
Which we'll get to. But here's the mystery.
Yeah, this park, you have to interact with, you got to find a Puccina at one
Apom
point.
Throws away the
necklace.
It to the Burmy is scared and loses its leaves, picks up some garbage, picks up the necklace. You convince the Burmy to give you the necklace back. You give it to the little girl. Case closed.
Yeah, we don't, even though we don't lock up the Apom, there's no justice served here.
Apom kind of. Apom got like mob justice
because it got whacked by the Murkrow. Yeah,
Murkrow is kind of cute. It's like kind of a grump.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you learn. The other thing I like about this game is you see more of like in a similar way to Pokemon Snap. You see the Pokemon interact with each other in the wild, and it's like Apoms and Murkrows, because they're both sort of like shady and mischievous, like have a rivalry, which is cute.
Yeah, it's fun. I like being invited to the world of Pokemon, and it's not the gross world of Pokemon like in Pokemon Mystery Dungeon.
Yeah, there's like a Slurpuff who works at this like bakery.
Ooh, well, let's talk about it.
In the park.
Because we're in the interstitial. There's these little interstitial sort of like checkpoints between each case. And you're either at the detective agency where your dad worked, chopping it up with his old boss, Detective Baker. And her and his receptionist.
Amanda.
That's my second trainer danger. Tim, like a 16-year-old man, 18-year-old man?
At least 16, I would say.
Teenage man. I walk into this detective agency. My dad is at least missing, presumably dead. It's been
definitely presumed dead.
What, months?
I think a week.
Oh.
I don't remember. It's at least a week, but you presume somebody's dead after
like
that, right?
24 hours, I think you presume they're dead. Anyway, the first person I talk to is this receptionist, Amanda. And I ask her, this is Trainer Danger, by the way.
Another Trainer Danger?
They're all over the place here, man. Rhyme City's like depraved.
Littered with danger.
I say to this woman, what were your impressions of my dad? Sorry, I don't say this. Detective Tim says this.
Yeah, we're just picking it up on the wiretap.
Tim says, he's got a wire on. What were your impressions of my dad? And Amanda says, the front receptionist, says, oh, but I can't say anything bad about him in front of his son.
Winky, winky.
What is she implying? Do you think they had a relationship? Does he have a mother?
Kind of got that vibe.
Yeah. Later you go to talk to her and she's like, what's up? It's like, let's keep this professional, lady.
You're not my mom.
Anyway, chapter 2. Litwick Cave. I literally cannot even remember the premise for why we are now in a cave where Litwicks live.
Well, after the detective agency, Harry's a... Oh.
That one was improv. That wasn't planned. Can you believe that?
Elevate every morning with Tommy John's Second Skin underwear. The luxurious support of Second Skin guarantees everything will go smoothly. With over 20 million pairs sold and thousands of five-star reviews, guys love Tommy John. Plus, your most valuable assets are covered with Tommy John's best pair you'll ever wear or its free guarantee. Shop Tommy John's Friends and Family Sale right now and get 25% off site-wide at TommyJohn.com/Spotify. TommyJohn.com/Spotify. See site for details.
Welcome back, Detective Fielouette. Welcome back, bug catchers.
Welcome back.
We've found our way to Dad's apartment, and we've found his case files. We've found some of his evidence on file for some of his private investigations, because he's maybe looking to take down some shady organizations, you know?
He's trying to clean it up.
And the first piece of evidence we find leads us to Litwick Cave. Welcome.
Apparently, Harry was investigating these Pokemon attacks that have been happening in Rhyme City, similar to how those Apom were lashing out.
The first, law of Pokemon is that Pokemon cannot cause harm to humans. It's, absurd to these people that Pokemon would ever,
Yeah, they're supposed to all be buds. And so Harry wanted to investigate three locations that we find on a map in his apartment: a warehouse, a lake, and then Litwick Cave, which is where we are now.
We get there, and sure enough, there's a crazed Glalie here.
Yeah, harassing two women.
A filming crew. They managed to get this tape of a Glalie's eyes going red before it fires off an ice beam, killing a woman. Nearly killing a woman.
Yeah, I mean, I would not want to be in that scenario.
And trapping all of us in a cave.
Yeah, the entrance
with
collapses.
The Glalie.
Yeah, and Pikachu, we try to have Detective Pikachu... Tim tries to have Detective Pikachu use Thunderbolt on the Glalie.
Yeah.
And then it can't, because part of the thing is this Pikachu does not remember why its moves don't work. So you can't use attacks.
The Pikachu has amnesia. It woke
so
up
we have to
has amnesia.
Knock a stalactite. Is that the one that's on the ceiling? Or is it stalagmite? I always forget
hold
this.
Tight. Yeah, they hold tight to the ceiling.
Okay, stalactite. Yeah, you taught me that in another episode.
Yeah.
And then that falls and knocks the Glalie out, and then you can...
But then he's cool. Then he wakes up, and he's like, I'm just normal now. You talk to him, and he's like...
I look terrifying, but
yeah,
I'm
he's like,
a
I
chill
love this
guy.
Cave.
Yeah, just like the cave.
Everyone loves this cave. It's a pretty cozy cave. There's a ton
of
Litwicks.
It's like a makeout spot, I think.
There's some Noibats. They do. The film crew does say it's a makeout spot.
Yeah.
They're like, it used to be a fun place for families, but now it's just couples coming for a romantic getaway.
The little bing bong.
Well, I hate to tell you, but you've been watched by a plethora of semi-sentient Pokemon, including Drifblooms and Drifblims.
Yeah.
And that's the real mystery here, is how do we get out of this cave? Because we've found some evidence, this broken vial. Well, we've seen the Glalie go crazy. We've got firsthand evidence.
Yeah, we've seen nearly something been killed trigger by a in Glalie. It, and then it turns against its human friends.
And then the mystery becomes... tricking a Drifblim out of its cave so that it will carry you out of the cave.
Yeah, because there's a little opening in the roof. So you gotta do a bunch of investigating in here. You gotta use Litwicks to light it up. And
they're cool. They're nice. They're sort of lazy.
Litwick is Joshy's sweetie.
Yeah, they're sweeties.
They're animated very cutely. They're... voice in it is like, Litwick.
Litwick. Yeah, they're so Litwick. Sleepy.
Yeah, they just want to sleep. The Noibats are very cute, too. Everybody in this cave looks pretty good.
Yeah.
The Glalie's still terrifying, but it doesn't look bad.
Well, and there's these two ladies down here, too.
Mako and Amelia? Amelia!
Amelia!
I think it's Amelia. Yeah, this is where you start seeing perhaps a twisted side to Detective Pikachu.
Yeah, he's sort of a perv.
It's a little unreformed, because a running gag that is funny throughout, I'll admit, is like Pikachu trying to interact with people, but Tim is the only one who can understand him for some reason. That's part of the mystery.
Yeah.
So it'll be in cutscenes going like, Pika, Pika. Like, it's not like the Pika, Pika that you're used to. And he's like, and then you see the little subtitle, whatever he's trying to say. And he calls Mako a lively one, which is
he's sort of
very
gross.
Like
he's
1950s, like something I would not say.
Yeah.
About women. But so Detective
but
Pikachu, you're on notice.
But we've case closed. Like Driflim's lifting us out of here into the evening moonlight.
Yeah, we get out of here. I don't really remember, did we find anything?
Driflim literally carries us out.
Well, yeah, but we get out, but I don't really remember.
We just see the Glalie attack, I think, and we get it on tape.
I think that's probably most important. Yeah, we have the tape of it now.
I can't, maybe we find the vial down here? Or was that in the
I can't remember.
Apartment.
We've got a broken vial. Like, we'll
but that
just,
becomes the
one
next,
way or another, we have
it. That becomes the next
it.
Case. So here we are, we're in the interstitial.
It must have been in the cave, because that's where we're like, maybe that Glalie, like something from this vial.
Yeah, and then we're in the interstitial. Now we're in this cafe, which I think Tim's dad used to visit a lot and knows the guy behind the bar.
Pablo.
He's nice.
Yeah, chill vibes in here.
Here's my fall on my sword barf redemption.
Oh, yeah.
This waitress, Ludicolo.
Yeah.
So vibrant, so full of life.
Yeah, Ludicolo's really good.
Pikachu says at some point...
She's got a lot of really cute sounds, too. I've been telling you, man, Ludicolo's been
good. She serves the trays. This is in the movie, too, but she's gross in the movies. But in the game, she serves the drinks off her little hat.
Yeah, it's really cute.
Oh, it's so nice.
She'll roll up with the espressos.
And all the Pokemon have something to say. And all she has to say to Pikachu is... She's gotten used to being a waitress. Glad to see she's having fun.
Yeah, she
she's
loves it.
She's just like, girl, you know, girl boss.
She's living her boss best babe. Life. She loves making Java. And Pikachu
and she's good
loves
at it.
Java.
So, Ludicolo is redeemed. Plus, the one time you had that Ludicolo and just like obliterated my team.
Man, I still dream about that Ludicolo.
Let's get to the final chapter for this week. The PCL, our new megacorp.
Yes.
That we happen to be interns for, or sorry, Tim does.
Yeah, Tim has
he's
a
still
scheme
moonlighting
where
for
he's
us.
Interning at Pokemon Comprehensive Laboratory. That also, I think, lends credence to Rhyme City being a real place in the canon, because it's got its own megacorporation.
It sort of seems like the megacorporation is the city, you know? It's like some kind of corpo city.
Yeah, definitely.
They seem to do a lot and kind of have their fingers in a lot of pies.
Yeah, you find out from Amanda, I believe, because you stop by the detective agency before you go over there for your first day. And Amanda says, PCL makes handy day-to-day gadgets as well as energy sources of the future. So they are one of these ones that just does pretty much everything.
We sort of get involved in a little bit of corporate work. I guess did we sign a contract?
I think it's kind of under the table.
I guess we did. We're interns with them. But their security standards are pretty lax. This guy's like on the case for us.
No, you show up and like they don't really even check your ID, and it's like a security guard and a herdier.
Tim was like, my name is Tim Ottoman. And the guy's like, okay,
oh, yeah,
Tim Ottoman.
You're supposed to practice saying Ottoman, because they're like, Detective Pichu's like, you shouldn't say that you're Goodman, because they know Harry.
Yeah.
Also on the way, did you notice... Was this a implied cameo of Ash's Pikachu?
Oh, I'm not sure I noticed.
You come out, Tim comes out of the detective agency, and there's a Pikachu without a hat on the street. And he starts going like,
"Sorry, I'm late. Where's your hat? What's wrong with you? Come on, let's go."
And then Detective Pikachu then comes out, like, with the hat, and he's like,
"Tim, don't tell me you confused this guy for me, did you?"
Which is funny.
Funny.
But then Detective Pikachu talks to the Pikachu and has a couple of lines where, like, you can never hear what the Pikachu is saying, but then Detective Pikachu goes,
"Yeah, so I guess you two will make your dream come true. Tell your buddy to be the very best like no one ever was. See ya."
I don't know. It's, I think, again, it's some frightening implications.
That, yeah, I know. That's why I think this lore is so weird. And it's like, is this Ash's Pikachu or Red's Pikachu, I guess?
PCL. And here's the sort of overt, there's like a non-mystery we have to solve, which is, what garbage do we have to feed Garbodor in order to get his burps to be purified?
Yeah, they're working on a few.
That's our job. That's our cover
here. Because they were trying to turn it into what? Yeah, it's some sort of clean energy source they wanted.
You're helping to purify. Professor Fridge.
Yeah, Dr. Fridge.
Yeah, he's cool. I like him.
Frederick Hartman, I think, is his full name, but he goes by Fridge. Yeah, he's very much like this. Like,
hey, man, like, the cool.
He's like the trench coat or the lab coat guy. And then there's this, like,
lab
sort of
coated hippie
stuffy suit named Dorothy. In the back office,
she's the director. Yeah,
and then there's a bunch of scientists, and it's your job to help feed Garbodor something that's not going to make it burp. And then there's other lab things going on. You have to figure out how to brew up potions in the most sickening way imaginable.
Absolutely, absolutely, Pokemon abuse.
Well, and it's also, it might, you make me barf.
It's like lab testing on animals.
Pokemon of the week. It absolutely is. And the concoction is disgusting, and I would hate to feed it to anything that I claim to love.
Yeah.
I go in, there's this scientist named Nina who's trying to concoct a orange potion, and it's my job to help her by shaking berries out of trees and finding some kind of source of liquid.
Yeah. Claiming that it's number one, trying to make it into medicine to heal Pokemon.
And that looks good to drink.
And doesn't smell nasty.
Smell bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a tall order, but I go and I hunt some berries. Fine. That's fine.
Sure.
And then I need some kind of liquid agent to put it in. Coffee, too bitter. Whatever, whatever, too whatever. The solution ends up being the sick gel that they're yeah. storing Solosis in the lab.
Yeah. I tried just doing red berry, yellow berry, orange.
Yep.
And then water. Because I was like, water, that's fine. All natural. I tried it like twice. I was like, no, water's right. And then you had to go and get this disgusting culture fluid.
Well, that's not even the worst part, because once you've got all the ingredients, you go and find a shuckle out in the courtyard, and that's my You Make Me Barf Pokemon of the Week.
Yeah.
Because here's the process, according to scientist Nina. When you put a berry into shuckle's shell, gross, it ferments into juice, disgusting. But when you add various things into it, yuck, you can make it into more than just juice. It becomes medicine, gross and immoral.
Pouring it into its, like, holes in its shell.
And we do this. We hold the
shuckle
down.
Several times.
And we pour a bunch of shit into it. And it poops out some orange goo. Case closed.
Yeah, we did that. We also had to do it again to, like, give a Klefki kind of a juice so that it will let us into the storeroom. And then the storeroom is where you find the vial.
And
like
then we're
another
in the real,
one of the vials. And
we're in the
like,
real
oh,
mystery,
shit.
Which is this vial, which leads us into an underground lab. And eventually we have to kind of figure out, like, who's doing all these hijinks around the PCL. And it turns out that the PCL was burned to the ground
10 years ago.
In a giant Pokemon attack rampage 10 years ago and completely rebuilt. And no one is aware of this except the president.
Yeah, somehow, like, the lead scientist is like, oh, I don't know. I've only been here in this new lab. I had no idea it was ever burned to the ground.
No one knows about this except me, or except Tim.
Yeah.
Who takes it upon himself to climb into an underground bunker by himself without any protection and into an abandoned lab where he eventually discovers it's a Gengar.
Yeah. That was the one that I was most frustrated by because, first of all, I played it before, so I'm very tainted. But then, like, you get little, like, It's got a cool style on like the little like case book. And it will have little illustrations that look hand-drawn. But the one for this case where you're solving, like, who's causing trouble around the PCL?
Oh, yeah.
And it's got, like, clearly a Gengar arm, like, coming out of the floor.
Yeah.
And like, we all know it's Gengar. Like,
yeah,
I don't need to Gengar talk to every single person three times and all these Pokemon.
Find all these case files, the last of two which are just, like, sitting on some desk somewhere.
Right.
Incredibly tedious, but eventually, and then it's like, now we have to figure out how to catch this Gengar. And it's like, oh, I have an idea. It's called a Pokeball.
Right.
They're plentiful, and it's really easy to catch like a Pokemon with them. And instead, we have to go find this like Pokemon snare gun.
Yeah.
That only sees and hunts ghost type Pokemon. Developed by PCL.
Shoots like a net at them that somehow captures them despite them being a ghost. And how does that compare to the Sylph or Devon scope?
I mean, it shoots nets at ghosts.
Capturing the ghost, is that a little bit better?
Cool.
Maybe, than seeing it?
Yeah, I don't know. It's handheld
instead of worn.
And then
the ghost stays corporeal.
Which is maybe...
in there.
I've played enough Luigi's Mansion to know that that's a mistake.
Keeping it?
Doing handheld instead of worn.
Oh, I see, yeah. So you can interview the Gengar, figure out what it's doing, and it's basically just a prankster. But it is a hangover from that original lab that burned to the ground.
And the chapter started with a Trevenant going sort of bonkers.
Oh yeah, it gets unhinged during an interview with this Amelia for the news station.
And it turns out that it's this Gengar who has pranked it by feeding it spicy berries. And it turns out that it was always this gentleman who works in the laboratory, Carlos, who's not even the grumpy
Carlos
one.
Who... Yeah, you would never suspect Carlos. He's the one who's like palling around with the Rotom.
Yeah, I love this Rotom. That's Tanny, sweetie.
That Rotom is
a
delight.
What a little prick.
Yeah, it's the one who says Carlos is its servant, and then the Rotom also like inhabits a PC monitor at one point, and it's so cute.
Yeah,
it's like
it just won't do any work.
Like, kids, Nickelodeon, Nicktoons,
oh,
or whatever.
Yeah, Face.
With Face. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, he's cool. They always want him to get into lab work and do work, and he just never will.
Yeah.
But apparently that has driven Carlos to the brink, because he's been going down and developing, like, rage berries or something.
Yeah. He calls it R.
Yeah, R. And then it's case closed. He goes to jail.
He literally gets locked up.
Yep. We've sent a man to prison, a man with a family.
I mean, I'm sorry. That's not funny.
And then we're back at the detective agency, and I think we've earned a little R&R.
Oh, yeah.
Detective Fialouette. I think let's come back. Let's reconvene next week. Let's go have a little whiskey. Try to chase away some of these demons that we get doing this
kind
of work.
Think about our next move.
Forgetting some of the heinous shit we saw today.
Oh.
And then reconvene after the hangover wears off next week.
All right.
For chapters 4 through 6.
That's right.
Of Detective Pikachu.
Oh, man.
Do you have anything else to say?
Hope we haven't waited around too long and that this town can still turn things around.
There's a lot of crime afoot. I hope we haven't waited too long and Tim Goodman's dad is dead.
I know. Rest in petals, Tim's dad.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll start making funeral arrangements, like getting a 21 gun salute and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's how we can help him out when he's sort of, you know, out there doing the grunt work.
Well, and we're answering some of the philosophical questions, too. Don't forget.
Right, right.
Society needs poets and warriors.
Beautiful.
Let's get out of here, Detective Fialouette.
Case closed. Case is closed for this week.
Case is closed. We have been... this has been Experience Shared's Pokemon Podcast. We have been playing through Detective Pikachu.
Yeah,
that's
interstitial
right. Season 7A.
Mm-hmm.
Please do rate and review the show everywhere that you rate and review podcasts, and do follow us everywhere that you follow podcasts, and do follow me and Josh on Twitter and Instagram
at really?
EXPSharePod.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
on our co-manned account.
Experience Share.
Sometimes you'll get two responses to a tweet. It's just because one of us didn't see that the other one already sent a response.
Yeah, and sometimes maybe that's a little confusing. And
sometimes you'll get conflicting
opinions.
Makes
our own canon is somewhat confusing. Yeah, I forget what that one was about, but it was about a Pokemon that we had conflicting opinions
Golden
as an official.
But we eventually
statement.
Came together. That's why we needed to hash it out.
That's right. That's right. So we'll take it to the mic whenever we need to sort those things out, and we also sort things out maybe some kind of a segue here on the subreddit, reddit.com/r/bugcatcher. That was all right. And you can also find some new clothes and other merch to sort at expsharepod.com.
I wish we could sell a little detective hat with like Detective Tanner Greenring and Fjellowet.
Yeah.
Or signature characters for this special season.
To commission for 3 episodes, I would say.
3 award-winning episodes, potentially.
Let's
get out of here, Joshua.
Bugcatchers. The Pulitzer Prize-winning investigation.
Detective Fjellowet.
Episodes.
Alola.
Alola. And smell you later.